77 WABC and Tunnel to Towers Foundation present 9/11, 20 years later. Now, here's James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly.
Radio 77 in New York City on this, the 20th anniversary of the most horrific attack on America and on New York City itself. And of course, the Pentagon. Let us not forget. There is a heavy police presence in New York this morning. If you look at the corners of most of the streets, at least in the Midtown area of the city today, every corner has police officers. And they've been out there for hours. I'm sure, look downtown, as you go further downtown in New York, the police presence is going to become even heavier. In the back of me, and I see the reflection in our studio glass here, is a beautiful mural of a firefighter. I asked when I first came here and saw that mural, I asked one of our colleagues here to please go out and take a picture of it. And she is, she still has it, and she's going to send it to me again. We're going to post it somewhere because it is just simply beautiful. It is stunning. I noticed it again the first time I sat here in our New York studios on the beautiful east side of New York. For those people, and if you're looking right now at One World Trade Center, people are already there lined up. We will, as part of the program today, commemorate the three attacks with three moments of silence here. Of course, this is radio, so our moments of silence will be limited. Otherwise, transmitters will start flailing off alarms everywhere. A quick aside.
I'm saying about five seconds.
Yeah, a quick aside. When WABC, you know, I've been with WABC a long time. When WABC first switched to the talk format, we covered the 100th anniversary of the building of the Brooklyn Bridge, and there were fireworks. And it was, I will never forget Mike Mamone, who later became the broadcast engineer with Rush Limbaugh, we were working on a show together, and our news people were out describing fireworks, and all of a sudden they were just like, okay, let people hear the fireworks. And of course, it sounded like dead air. And every single alarm in the radio station started going off for minutes and minutes at a time. And we were just, I remember Mike saying, whose bright idea was this? a moment of levity. And today, we might need them. Look, here's how we're going to do this. Yes. Thank you, Curtis Sliwa, by the way. Curtis is here, and Curtis and I go back, and as we all do, many, many years, and his descriptions of what was on WABC's air that day 20 years ago had me riveted in my seat listening to him recount everything that took place that day. I was in Maryland that day, and I was watching this. I was 30 minutes away from where the planes hit the Pentagon. I knew people on that plane who lost their lives, including Barbara Olson. There's a story about Barbara today on the front page of the Fox Digital site. And when we saw that second plane hit, it was just like, oh my God, what has happened? What is happening? There were, for the black helicopter crowd, within 30 minutes of the plane striking, the black helicopters were out over Washington, D.C. There was so much military traffic and moving. I was in that flight path where I was in Maryland, in Fort Washington, Maryland. And the atmosphere was just stunned disbelief. Now, Curtis laid out what happened during the first World Trade attack, and which drew him to the conclusion quickly that what was happening was a terrorist attack again. I'm here to tell you that I believe, 20 years on, we have not learned a damn thing. And I'm sorry to say it. I honestly do believe, 20 years after the anniversary of 9/11, we have forgotten every single major lesson that we were supposed to learn. And I think there's evidence of it, and I'm going to try to make that case with you. Now, here's what I would like on the telephones today. I am going to, because I am committed to also talking about current events, so I am not going to spend the entire show reminiscing about 20 years ago, even though this is the most important story today. We are going to talk about it, but what I would like you, our listeners here at WABC, you, those of you that were here, please tell us what you remember, especially if you were part of the evacuation, if you lived downtown, if you lived in Soho or below. You know, when the buildings came down, that ash and the air quality immediately in Manhattan was horrific. I had friends here that were downtown that were telling me that they could, within days, their respiratory systems were affected by the falling of the towers. If you remember the smoke from the fires, even, just stayed in place and burned and burned. New York firefighters, New York first responders, New York EMT, New York firemen, if any of you managed to get through, please let our screener know. Can you give them first priority, please, if we have any first responders that get through, please? Our number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. What we are seeing, ladies and gentlemen, today in Afghanistan is, to me, one of the clearest indications that we have forgot every single lesson of 9/11. I will tell you this. I've traveled to Southeast Asia a number of times. And their sense of security is very different than ours. When you check into, if you're in Manila, if you go to Angeles out there, to Manila, and I didn't even go to Cebu or any of the other places in the Philippines. I stayed pretty much in Manila, and then I've been into a few other places. But their sense of security, years after the 9/11 attacks, are different than ours. They did not let up. When you check into five-star hotels, whether it's the Diamond, whether it's the Marriott has a beautiful hotel right across from the airport in Manila. You have to go through a security check. Your bags are checked on a separate conveyor. When your vehicle pulls in, they go under the vehicle with mirrors to check for anything. When the guards at the hotel have automatic weapons, and this is every single hotel in the province. When you're in Luzon, which is the big island over there. When you go into a 7-Eleven, they have armed guards. When you go anywhere that there could be a threat of terror, there are armed guards everywhere. They're not going to take any chances. And that's something that we long ago have given up on. It's like, okay, we like our freedom. No, we don't want to see people with machine guns hanging around. And let me tell you something. The police presence over there, it's comforting. Because nobody's going to try any crap without having a response. Here, we like the quote-unquote open society. And we are open. Our borders are wide open again. And we are right now bringing in unvetted people from a war zone where we have terrorists that are committed to our destruction. And this is happening in plain view. What have we learned about connecting the dots? What have we learned in the 20 years after 9/11? America has the most intense technology in the world. We don't use it. If you're going to the airports, the only place that uses biometric data is CLEAR, a private concern. So if you want to get through the lines, you can subscribe to CLEAR. They have your fingerprints, they have your eyes, your biometric, and they scan you. You can also, if you're doing international travel, get the global entry card where you have to go before an interview with TSA and they do a background check. But as an everyday occurrence, people traveling, we are not using the full capabilities of our technology at all. We're not even close. We are not even close because we haven't implemented one of the things that the 9/11 Commission, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, which is real ID. That was supposed to be part of it. Instead, you have Democrat blue states who have opened up the ID process for illegal immigrants, and they do not want a real ID because it would expose people that are here illegally. And because of that, the rest of America has to remain unsafe without real ID. Right now, the terrorists that came in from Saudi Arabia had licenses, had 30 driver's licenses. Right now, we could have terrorists out there with just as many driver's licenses, and no one gives a damn because Democrats do not want real ID because it exposes their weakness on illegal immigration. What have we learned? Absolutely nothing. The government agencies working together? Really? We have our intelligence operation. If you just look at the intelligence operations and the way that the intelligence operations were used to try to destroy the presidency of Donald Trump, all really, do we have faith in our intelligence operations, or have they become so politicized that they can no longer be trusted? I maintain to you, ladies and gentlemen, on this solemn day, 20 years after terrorist planes killed over 3,000 American citizens, that we have not learned a damn thing. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, WABC, Talk Radio 77. We coming back right after this.
Sit here from Bernie and Sid in the morning, and NFL Week 1 is here. The bridge is stocked. The recliner is ready. Now, all you need to do is log into FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right. FanDuel is giving all customers a risk-free bet just in time for Week 1 of the NFL season. Gotta love New York out of the NFC East as a 2.5-point home underdog, whether it's that game or a host of others. There's so much to play on the weekend slate and so many ways to play it on FanDuel. Moneyline bets, over, under, prop bets, same game parlays. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's Sip Rosenberg's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use. The payouts are fast. There are so many ways to play. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with promo code SID and receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just use the promo code SID and go get them. The NFL is here.
21 plus and present in NJ. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A pharmacist is wanted by All RX Pharmacy Incorporated for Flushing, New York. Prepare medications by reviewing and interpreting physician orders and patient profiles. Must have a doctorate degree in pharmacy and a New York State pharmacist license. Mail resumes to Attention All RX Pharmacy, 4022 Main Street, Flushing, New York, 11354. No calls. Again, mail your resumes to Attention All RX Pharmacy, 4022 Main Street, Flushing, New York, 11354. No calls.
You take steps to stay healthy when at the pharmacy picking up vitamins or filling a prescription.
May I help you?
Take another healthy step right now and ask the pharmacist how Prevnar 13 can help protect you from pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease. If you're 65 or older, a trip to the pharmacy is a lot more pleasant than a trip to the hospital because of pneumococcal pneumonia. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM-197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Stop by the pharmacy today and ask about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
77 WABC and Tunnel to Towers Foundation present 9/11, 20 years later. Now, here's James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly.
WABC, Talk Radio 77, of New York City. That's Earth, Wind, and Fire, September, of course. It is September 11th. And with us right now is Mecca Nelson. And welcome, Mecca. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Now, I want to tell the audience who you are briefly. Well, some of who you are and what you're doing. Your husband, Army Sergeant Mario Nelson, signed on to the National Guard after the 9/11 attacks. He volunteered to join the recovery efforts down in Ground Zero. He was one of those that volunteered to go down there and help.
Yes.
That's right. Afterwards, he enlisted in the Army as a full-time soldier. You, your family, went to Germany before he was deployed to Iraq back in 2006, 10 months. He was due back in another 2 months. It would have been his year anniversary when Sergeant Nelson was killed by a rocket-propelled grenade. You haven't stopped. The Tunnel to Towers brought you to our attention. The Tunnel to Towers has gotten involved with you and your family, and what a great organization they are. But you've gone on to create something called YOMA. And can you, well, first of all, what are your thoughts here on September the 11th?
One, I feel it's very emotional for me because in my mind, I'm just thinking about how this is where it all began.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, it just makes me think about how his heart was and all those that, you know, was there.
How was his heart? You say that. What kind of heart did your husband have?
He had a big heart. It was amazing. He would give the clothes that he had on his back. He would sacrifice anything for others, family, friends. That is who he was.
He sacrificed his life for others. What you're saying is evidenced by what he did in his life. You have a daughter together, Mia.
Yes. She's in college. She's attending a HBCU, and I'm so proud of her. She's majoring, her major is criminology and her minor is psychology. She's a wonderful young lady and she is his twin.
Oh, that is just so beautiful. That must bring you some comfort.
Yes, it does. It does. It does. And what I think is the blessing in that space is that the guys that he served with in Iraq and the guys that found him and carried him to, you know, when they, you know, realized what had happened to him, you know, we're in contact with them and they've been a great impact in our life as well. So it's like she just got a blessing of 100-something uncles.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Tower to Tunnel has made sure that you and Mia have a new home, that you're
yeah.
out. Yeah. And you want to say yes. a few words about Tunnel to Towers?
Yes. I love T2T because T2T really did a lot for us. It allowed me to do so much more, save money, do things that I wanted to do with my business. Just like you said, I created the Yoma Method. And it just allowed me to flourish so much.
What is the Yoma Method? Please tell us about that.
The Yoma Method is yoga, martial arts, and meditation. It is trauma-informed work. As you can see, it's multidisciplinary. And it allows you, and it's, you know, domestic prevention. You know, there's a lot of people that go through trauma. Mm-hmm. They experience hurt and pain. And because of what I went through, you know, it helped me through my process. Before I bring it out, I had to use it on my daughter and myself. And by me training in martial arts and also taking yoga, I decided to fuse all of it together and create it. It's different. When people hear martial arts, they hear intensity, but there's different forms of martial arts. And I bring that in, and now it's like a release. The movement, the meditations, the mantras, it's a release of the hurt that weighs heavy, because when you experience any type of trauma, it holds onto your heart and your soul and your spirit and your mind, and the goal is to release it. And I've been using that to help so many others that went through any form of trauma, which is a blessing that I'm able to do that. I believe that God creates a path for us, and it's up to us to follow through with it. And although the path that was created for me, I did not want to accept it. But, you know, the chaplain said to me, that came to my door, that told me that Mario was KIA, he said, God created a path for you. You need to follow it. And God is going to bless you. And you're going to write books that's going to change lives. And I now realize what he was saying, because I'm actually a co-author in two books. And I'm actually working on my own book called Humble Haitian Warrior. That speaks about
Mario. Wait, it's called, tell us again what it's called. Humbled Haitian Warrior.
Yeah, that's the book I'm working on right now.
Okay.
So, and it'll be coming out in a few weeks. So, it's just a blessing. And Tunnel to Tower really allowed me to expand so much. If I didn't have to worry about moving from apartment to apartment, dealing with landlords that, you know, some of these landlords are not so nice. You know, they have their own mind frame of thinking. And, you know, I just thank God for Tunnel to Towers for what they did for us. Because now I can sit in my home. I could call it my home. I could sit outside. I can do my laundry while I'm in the house working. And my daughter can be comfortable, you know.
Right. Tunnel to Towers is just one of the amazing organizations. And, of course, Tunnel to Towers came into being because of 9/11. And you and your family have given so much. And now you're doing so much, Mecca.
Yes.
And so let me just say this in closing. We thank you for spending some time with us on this 9/11. We thank you for the sacrifice that your husband made for his country. You said he had a big heart. He would give anything. He gave everything. And we thank you, and we sincerely wish your daughter Mia the very best, and hope you'll be in touch in the future and let us know how your family's doing. And we look forward to your book. When you do have your book published, you'll come back and join me, okay?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. I want to say I appreciate you for taking the time out today to speak with me on this beautiful day. I needed this because today is kind of emotional for me.
I understand, honey.
And I think Tunnel to Towers for all the beautiful work that they do. And I want them to continue doing it and continue putting blessings on them and all the other families. And everywhere I go, I speak about Tunnel to Towers because they changed my life and they allowed me to do so much in my business and to grow as a person. I truly love Tunnel to Towers.
And they truly love you. And let me tell you something, darling, please. Everyone in the sound of your voice and our voice recognizes who you are, and we thank you, and we love you, and we want you and your family to flourish. And we'll be speaking with you soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear. God bless you. We'll talk soon.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
Green Day brings us back on WABC.
Like my father's come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends.
September 11th, 2021. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you here. That was, folks, just thank you for being here with Mecca and with us on WABC Talk Radio 77. And there are so many people like Mecca here whose families have been impacted by the events that happened 20 years ago, who are still living with those events. And I got to tell you, I am just so gratified to be here at WABC Talk Radio 77, where we are celebrating and honoring and remembering and memorializing what took place in our city, what took place in our area. And every time I say our city, I want you please to remember that I'm not just talking about the geographic boundaries of the five boroughs here. I'm talking about Pennsylvania. I'm talking about New Jersey. I'm talking about Connecticut, the outer boroughs, upstate New York, because this signal on WABC covers all of that. We are all New York City. We are all linked here. And what happened 20 years ago, it may seem like it happened in a flash, but it was just a few years ago. Justin, where are we going?
Let's go to Lieutenant Torres in the Bronx.
Lieutenant Torres, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bo, how are you? How's everybody?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm actually running a little late, and I'm driving, but I listen to you. I've been listening to you guys for years, and let me tell you, I've been listening to Rush since 1991.
Wow.
I was in college in Maryland, and I've been listening to everybody with an open mind and an open heart. And I'm both a veteran and also 9/11 lieutenant at FDNY. I really never talk about it unless people ask me about the day and the events.
Well,
so
you
if
were,
you have any questions.
I do. You were there at 9/11. You were there.
Yes. Yes.
Well, tell us, at what stage did you come there? Were you there when the buildings were still up? Were you there when the buildings had come down?
I was there when the buildings were up. It just happened that I was I was a soldier at the 69th Infantry on 26th and Lex, the armory. So that weekend prior, I was kind of a bad boy. I didn't go to the drill weekend. And they allowed me to make that day up on Tuesday. Tuesday's a training meeting, so I went very early to avoid the crowds on the train. So I go early. No one's walking on the streets of 26 Alexa at this time. And when we were getting ready to have our training day, they told me that the towers were hit. So being in the fire department, and I always have extra clothes in my car, I headed down there with the unit. And then we set up at the base of the Trade Center. And when we heard that they were starting to come down, we moved some of the stuff. Well, I was closer to One Liberty Plaza, so it's like a little right around the corner of Century 21. Now, mind you, I never knew of these buildings other than 9/11. I knew of the area, but not being in finance or having any interest in the Wall Street area, this was probably my like second or third time ever in my life. And even as a New Yorker, you know, you kind of tend not to go to these places except once in a while.
Yeah.
When tourists come to school.
What do you, so you saw some of the horror as it was unfolding there.
Yeah, I remember. I remember people yelling, don't look up. And, you know, you can hear, Sorry?
It got you. It just you just remembered.
You can hear people saying, don't look up. And like New Yorkers, they looked up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, don't look up. And you can hear the metal falling. And the scariest thing is hearing the... hearing the metal and the concrete kind of crunch and bend.
Wow.
And wow. It's a sound that has never left my mind.
And I imagine you were also seeing things that you never thought you would see in your life.
Yeah. I picked up a few pieces of... I picked up a few pieces of body and secured them in a bag because I knew that we were going to need them for, I guess,
identification.
Track people down. And, yeah, it didn't really prepare you. Afterwards, we were confused, and I just ran to a person who had a clipboard, and I gave them my name so that somebody knew that I was still alive.
My gosh. Do you think that as a nation, do you think that we have learned the vital lessons that we needed to learn from that day?
No, unfortunately, what I think is that we've had so many other events since then, and we're a turn-the-page society, and I think often we forget we tend to forget those things, and we turn the page, and... like I said, another generation might see this as a school lesson or not, or a family lesson. I don't know what they're teaching in school. I can just imagine. But okay. They tend to forget. Everything seems politicized. And unless it affects you personally or indirectly, you really don't realize what people went through and what kind of attacks went on that day, because it was pretty confusing. But I always call it my second birthday.
Your second birthday?
Your second birthday.
Yep.
Why?
Well, because God gave me a chance. You know, I could have been left or right of where I was, but I was centered. So it didn't really hit me years later until I realized that, you know, we had a purpose, and my purpose in life at that time was there. So...
And your purpose is still here, telling this story and being here. And Lieutenant Torres, we thank you for your service. And we thank you for opening up today and sharing with us your experiences on September 11th, 2001, as they happened. And as you, what started as a normal day for you, ended up being a day that now... you will only talk about when asked, because the events are so horrific. God bless you and thank you for your service, sir.
Oh, no, guys. God bless you for keeping the idea alive and just maintaining that hope and that you know, we'll see better days and we'll come collectively together.
This is America and this is New York and we will. And by the way, thank you for saying that, because I had a thought this morning. You know, there are a lot of people that question whether New York was going to be able to come back from the economy under Cuomo and de Blasio, the lockdowns. And by the way, there is a new golden tip poll today. If you don't know this, I have... joined Technometrica Institute of Public Policy, and we are doing a poll now. These are the most accurate pollsters in America for the last five presidential cycles. There's a new poll today, the Golden Tip Poll, and it asks two questions, one about the coronavirus and one about lockdowns. I'll share the answers to them coming up in the next hour. Princess Di will join us at some point in the next hour. And we have a moment of silence coming up. What time is that coming up, Justin?
8:46 and 40 seconds.
8:46 and 40 seconds. We are going to stop down and we're going to honor throughout the day those moments that those planes hit. And it's radio, so they will be brief moments of silence, but we will honor those. We have time for another call.
Yes, we do.
Where are we going?
Let's go to Enrico in Manhattan.
Enrico, welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77. You're on with James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. What's on your mind, Enrico?
Hi, guys. Just calling in to thank you guys for the what you guys are doing and presenting the memorial and everything else.
Well, thank you. Where were you 20 years ago today?
A little bit of an odd story, and I don't tell too many people. I was actually a private securities trader in Queens, New York, and it was an absolute perfect morning, as it is today. And one of the newscasters on TV said a small commuter plane has just hit the World Trade. And as we were watching, we all jumped up, and we said that wasn't no small commuter plane. And we ran into the World Trade within 15 minutes. We were there. To try to just help out people that we thought may need to be assisted.
What were the conditions like? You got there 15 minutes roughly after the plane hit. What were conditions like?
I think the disposition of the firemen that were there and seeing them in shock was the first thing that really hit me, and I said, "Oh boy, this is big trouble." Long story short is we assisted the firemen the whole time, pretty much, as there weren't many people to help.
Oh goodness!
I have pictures from that day of 20 firemen, you know, with their hats off and they're just in tears, sitting on a curb. And, you know, we were just trying to give them, like, pep talks. You know, come on, guys. You know, we're all together on this. And it was a rough day. It was a rough day for sure. We watched the buildings come down. It was like I was enlisted in the military somewhere in another part of the world. That's how it felt.
20 years later, do you think we've learned our lessons? Do you think?
You know, it's pretty disgusting, and absolutely not, we haven't. It's you know, I'm a parent now of four kids, and to see what's going on and the attitude that just so many people are just pushing aside and taking it for granted, and no, we haven't. We have not at all.
Yeah. That is what I think many of us are going to have to focus on the next few days. Look, thank you so much for sharing with us your experiences and for your willingness to step up instead of running in the other direction, to go there and try to help. Talks says a lot about your character. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. We are approaching the 45, which means that in another minute or so, we will be at our first moment of silence to commemorate that first plane, which was reported. And you've heard this now. You've heard the reports here. A commuter plane. No, it was not a commuter plane. It was a commercial jet that was commandeered by terrorists who had fake identification to get through what little security there was. And today they can still get fake identification, because we don't have real ID implemented, even though the 9/11 Commission wanted it. And so today you could still have illegal immigrants, which is what these 19 terrorists were, sneaking through using fake ID to commit an act. It is just stunning to me. But we are approaching that moment where, on a beautiful day, and folks, it is a beautiful day in New York today. It is just such a September fall, glorious day. You heard someone say perfect. The weather outside is just beautifully perfect. And it was on September 11th throughout much of the East. And so 20 years ago, on a day like today, we were all here, or many of us were. I was in Maryland, but we were still here. And in New York, life was going on. And then all of a sudden, that normalcy came to an end. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to stop down for a moment of silence to commemorate when that first flight, Flight 11, struck the North Tower in New York City. Every single person that knew somebody there will remember that day. And many of you might know that the World Trade Center has the antennas for many of the TV stations that and networks that are here. I have friends that work in that industry. They had friends and coworkers who were doing maintenance that day on the antennas when those planes hit. And they also have footage that has never been released of what happened. And if you think about that moment that plane hit, you have a plane with jet fuel that slams into a building. That plane is going at least 200 miles an hour when it slams into the building. The people in that building were sprayed with jet fuel that ignited. When you want to know, why would people jump out of to a certain death? From 100 stories up, it was because jumping out of a building at certain death was better than what was going on inside. And we should never forget that.
Ah, yes, 50. September. Father time with a frost warning. My leaves are turning. How green they were and how bright they are. And oh, how wonderful my love affair with life.
One day you turn around and it's summer. Next day you turn around and it's fall. And the springs and the winters of a lifetime.
Frank Sinatra. The September of my years, and we are indeed in September. Now, one of my young colleagues here at WABC has just joined us for a quick... I asked her to sit there. What's that on your nails?
Oh, I got my nails done as a spiral and a moon.
Wow, pretty
awesome.
Pretty,
right?
Yeah. Like, what's your name?
My name's Gabby.
Gabby.
Gabriella.
Gabriella. Now, Gabriella, I just wanted you to tell everybody who you were, because I want to ask you something. You did a favor for me last year.
Yes.
You went across the street and you mm-hmm. took a picture of that mural and posted it.
Yep.
And describe that mural for people.
So there's a mural on, I believe, 49th Street and 3rd Avenue. It is a fireman, right? And I believe it's holding up the American flag. He's holding up the American flag. And it is a beautiful mural. It's filled with color and very vibrant. And it really just makes you think about, you know, our country and the things that the firemen have done for us.
Where were you on 9/11 20 years ago?
I was one. I was 1 year old. I was in the McDonald's drive-thru with my mom when she heard it on the radio. My dad worked in the city, though. So everyone was like, where is he? Is he okay? No one could get in contact with him. Everyone was super worried. My sister, I believe she was 9 or 10 at the time, and she was at school. So I just remember her telling me stories of how she was in school and no one was allowed to leave for the first, like, 2 hours. All the classes were, like, canceled. Everyone was just sitting, wondering what was going on, and all the kids didn't know if their parents were coming to get them. They just knew something was happening in the city. So, all that stuff. And now when I hear, you know, your show, I'm doing the video for your show today. And those past two callers, it really just makes me, you know, think about, like, wow, like, I can't even imagine if I was, you know, like, 20-something or 30-something and being in New York City when that was happening. I really just, I couldn't even imagine, like, the things that I would feel or even have gone through.
Well, Gabby, I'm going to tell you, I hope you and your generation never have to live through this in person. But I'm very afraid for you because of what is going on today. We've forgotten what led up to this. So it is going to be up to your generation to demand some accountability from elected officials so that you don't have to experience this. This was horrific.
It really was. Just seeing the things that I've seen and not even being there, it makes me upset because, like, our country, it's, you know, how could that happen,
It's exactly. Sad. Well, your nails are beautiful.
Thank you.
And can you repost those pictures today, please?
Yes, I will repost them, and I will find them and send them to you as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden. Now, listen, we are coming up on a second moment of silence at 9:03. That will happen during the news break. And that is when the second plane struck. And just that time, the difference of that time, 20 years ago today, both buildings. And I must tell you, folks, we see these events, we remember them, but we cannot possibly, even then, we could not understand the true horror. And there is footage of that true horror that you will never see. Because it is considered by those in the media who took them to be too graphic, too painful for the mind to comprehend. We are going to talk a little politics in the next hour of what's going on, but we are going to stay focused on 9/11 because, after all, this is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and you are listening to WABC Talk Radio 77, and I am very proud to tell you that if you look at WABC's logo, you will see the Twin Towers. The Twin Towers will live forevermore on WABC Talk Radio 77. They are part of our logo. They are a part of our life. Coming back for hour number two, James Golden, a.k.a. Snurly, don't you go away. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. The impact of 9/11/2001 made an everlasting memory in the hearts of every American. Today and every day, we remember the sacrifice. We remember the personal stories and the sounds of that day. I remember thinking on that day that we had seen the very worst that humanity has to offer, and at the same time, the sacrifices that our first responders made, we saw the very best of humanity. It is a day that will live in memory forever.
Time for traffic and transit with Steve Michaels.
Thanks very much, Deb. They are currently holding traffic at all of the Port Authority crossings in Memoram and also in honor of the 9/11 victims. So there is no traffic going at the Holland Lincoln Tunnel and the George Washington Bridge. The FDR Drive is closed from the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel and right up to the Brooklyn Bridge, and the BQE jam both directions from Atlantic Avenue right up to the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm Steve Michaels, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Steve. And Ground Zero ceremonies underway here in Manhattan. President Biden and the First Lady at Ground Zero to mark the second moment of silence at 9:03:02. We join them.
WABC and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation present A Day of Remembrance, 9/11, 20 years later, 9:03 a.m. and 2 seconds.
Flight 175, crashes into the south face of the South Tower to World Trade Center between floors 77 and 85. Parts of the plane, including the starboard engine, leave the building from its east and north sides, falling to the ground six blocks away.
My name is Brian Lutz. I'm about 10 blocks away north of the Empire State of the World Trade Towers. I will tell you from the size of the gash that the wingtip had to be at least 150 to 200 feet wide. Oh, my God!
Oh,
the next building is
another
just
one.
Up. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Another plane just flew in.
I feel the heat. The explosion is incredible. Oh, my God!
Another plane, as we were watching.
I don't believe this. The second tower has exploded from about the 20 stories below in a gargantuan explosion. Oh, my God, I don't believe it.
Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
At the time this happened, I was in my car, van, rushing down lights and sirens to the World Trade Center. And again, discussing with the police commissioner what had to be done to protect against any further terrorist attack, which we thought might be ground attacks, you know, attacks on buildings like they were doing in Israel. I saw a tremendous burst of flame at the top of the towers. Denny and I, who was in the car with me, did not know exactly what it was, but we didn't have a long time to wait because either Bernie Kerik or Joe Loder, who was my deputy mayor, called and right away said, "Boss, a second plane hit. This is definitely a terrorist attack." We knew immediately it was bin Laden because he had been threatening the city with terrorist attacks for quite some time. Once that second plane hit, no doubt it was an attack on America. And the first thing that came into my mind is, this is the first time we've been attacked since the War of 1812. This is going to be really hard on my people, really hard.
Governor George Pataki.
As soon as I saw the second plane hit, I knew it was a terrorist attack, and I had to simply begin to act. So I contacted my emergency command center in Albany, organized our emergency response, activated the National Guard, called on the state police to begin coming to New York to see how they could assist, shut down the bridges and tunnels going into New York, into and out of New York, shut down the airports. And then I called Mayor Giuliani, let him know I was in the city, and we were activating all the emergency support that we had available. And then I called President Bush and let him know that we had taken these steps and urged him to shut down the airspace over New York, but he had already shut down the airspace over the entire country.
Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik.
About 2 or 3 minutes before Mayor Giuliani arrived, I was standing in the middle of West Broadway looking at the damage to Tower 1, and there was this enormous explosion above me. And when I looked up, directly in front of me, the north side of Tower 2 was exploding. There was this big orange fireball. I didn't know what happened. I couldn't see the second airplane, but I could hear the NYPD aviation pilots, the helicopter pilots, yelling that a second aircraft just slammed into Tower 2. And at that point, me and my security staff had to run up West Broadway to get out from underneath the debris. It was basically right on top of us, and it was coming down around us. One of my security guys got hit in the back of his thigh with a piece of shaft from the plane itself.
Keep listening to 77 WABC as we remember 9/11, 20 years later.
WABC Talk Radio 77, New York City. If you'd like to join us on the phones today, 800-848-9222 is the number to call. Keep that rolling. Brothers Johnson is our theme, people ask, you know. It is 9/11, it is 20 years later. It is an emotional roller coaster in here today, I have to tell you, because I have been near tears several times speaking with you that went through it, us that went through it, families affected by it, listening. And then, of course, we want to remain optimistic. But I fear, and I've said this and I'm going to say it again, I fear that we have not learned a damn thing in the 20 years since 9/11. This is, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. I am glad we are doing this commemoration. Some people, by the way, called and said, don't call it an anniversary. Whatever. Okay. A commemoration. Whatever. I am glad that we are seeing this. For many years, we saw it on every anniversary, especially the 1st, the 5th, the 10th, and now the 20th. We see the big shows, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. We see everyone come out. For instance, the Clintons, the Obamas, and the Biden camp are all down today a few blocks from here, making a big deal of how much they care. But when it really comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, how much do they care? We don't have real ID. The same situation exists today, except they couldn't come on with box cutters, most likely. We could have illegal immigrants coming in with phony ID because we have still not implemented real ID, getting on planes and doing the exact damn thing today. Okay, because that's how serious they are. By the way, it has become fashionable today, again, to love the police and to love the first responders. But guess what? The Democrat, I am sorry, yes, he's going political. But guess what Democrats around the country have been doing for the entire last year, for the last 2 years, for the last 3 years? They have been demonizing the very people that today they want to act as if they have honored nonstop. They have been demonizing the police. They have been demonizing first responders. In Portland, they were throwing objects and trying to harm them. In Seattle, they have been trying to harm them. And the elected Democrats do nothing to stop it. So don't sit and tell me, and we're supposed to all believe, that today you love the police again. Because liberals, for the last 2 to 3 years, you've been telling us how much you hate them. And so today, I'm not going to put it aside. Okay? Now, there's some other news that we need to talk about briefly. There is a story in BizPack Review that is a follow-up story from the story that I saw and discussed with Sean Spicer, our domestic policy advisor, Princess Di. Diana Me, America loves Princess Di. She's our own Princess Di, not a Brit. She's our own Princess Di, and America loves her. And our own Princess Di will be here to discuss that with us. Now, there is a Golden Tip poll out. There are two questions on today's Golden Tip poll that have been released. Let me very briefly run through what Golden Tip is. I have teamed up with the Technometrica Institute of Public Policy. They are the most accurate pollsters in America. The last five presidential cycles, they've gotten them right. The last five. Now, think about that. Some people might get angry when I say that, especially about the last one. But the last five, they've gotten right. And they poll on so many other things that they get right. Now, today's one of the first days that I looked at a poll result, and I said, are you kidding? My own poll says this? Well, my joint poll. It's called the Golden Tip poll. 48% oppose rent relief extensions. Nearly one half don't support extending rent relief due to coronavirus. By the way, you can find the results of these polls at tipinsights.com, T-I-P-P-insights.com. And so 1,300 Americans, please indicate the extent to which you would agree or disagree with the statement, Americans should be allowed to continue not paying rent because of coronavirus. 48% don't support that. Now, you can go down, and I don't want to spend too much time with this poll today. I'm going to talk about it during the week when we're not talking about 9/11. I'm going to bring it back up. There was another part of this poll, another question that we asked, and this surprised me, I have to say. My own poll surprised me. And that is about lockdowns. The Golden Tip poll, 54% favor more lockdowns to fight the Delta variant. That is the result. Again, 1,300 Americans. Please indicate the extent to which you agree or disagree with the statement. American cities and states need to enforce more lockdowns of businesses to fight the Delta variant of the coronavirus. 26% strongly agreed with that. 28% agreed somewhat. And there you have the 54% who are in favor of more lockdowns. Now, when you look at the specifics of who agrees, you will see there is a tremendous difference in what Democrats, Republicans, and Independents believe. Democrats heavily in favor, Republicans not. New York Times says, by the way, that Joe Biden droned the wrong guy, killed an innocent aid worker and a family of 10. When we come back, Diana Mee will join us. We'll briefly move into some other areas, and we then are going to return to your telephone calls September the 11th. We have a moment of silence left to go in the next half hour. I want to talk very briefly about Larry Elder. What happened to Larry Elder's campaign is astounding. Larry Elder was attacked by a woman in a gorilla mask. Then the Los Angeles Times ran a story on it, but found an angle of a photograph that made it look as if Larry Elder were slapping a white woman. This is not just journalistic malpractice. This is journalistic slander. And they have pulled the story. The LA Times, to me, should be asked if they bear some of the responsibility for the Karen that was running around in the gorilla mask throwing an egg at Larry. And by the way, his campaign was also shot at with a pellet gun. Because their columnist ran around saying that Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. They have fomented this hate, in my view, and they need to be held to account. Anyway, WABC, Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been incredible in bringing us this day of remembrance. And we would ask, please, that you consider helping America to keep its vow never to forget by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at T2T.org. T2T.org. You can honor America's heroes by donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers. You can join Tunnel to Towers Foundation on their mission to do good, and they are doing good. You heard from Mecca in the first hour, her family. You heard her, how grateful she is to those of you that supported Tunnel to Towers, and they were able to support her. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you here on Talk Radio 77 WABC, back after this.
Stay for just a while.
Please do.
Stay and let me look at you.
Oh, I love looking at you.
It's been so long I hardly knew you.
Yeah.
Standing in the door. Stay with me a while.
Every Saturday.
I only want to talk to you.
And every weekday.
We traveled halfway around the world to find ourselves again. September morn. We danced until the night became a brand new day.
WABC, Talk Radio 77 in New York. Neil Diamond brings us back in on this beautiful September morning. And it was a beautiful morning 20 years ago, September 11th, when our world was shaken by terrorists. With us right now, America's princess, Di, the princess of policy, Diana Mee. Welcome on this special edition, the September 11th edition of the James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley Show. How are you, Diana?
Well, I have been really sobered by your show. It's very emotional to hear and to remember, and I appreciate all that you've been saying and your callers have been saying. I just wanted to say one number. We hear that almost 3,000 Americans were killed that day, and there's another number that doesn't get as often said, and that is up to 25,000 people did get out and were rescued thanks to the sacrifice of over 300 of these wonderful first responders who it was their last mission. And so that is their legacy of how many were saved. I just love remembering that part too.
Wow. That made me a little teary because that you said it right. That was their last mission. Their last mission was first responders saving lives of people and sacrificing their own lives. And that happened. This is real. That happened. Diane, I have never been able to forget what, and you know one of my friends that works in the network. You've met him before.
Right.
And what he told me, because he was there and he was watching the footage real time. And he said what he saw that was coming in from the feeds that did not make the air, he said immediately he knew it would never be seen because it was so. And people in those control rooms in our networks were traumatized. And I don't say that lightly, by what they were seeing. And they knew that the public would be traumatized if they actually saw it. And so that footage has never been allowed to be seen of what really took place in detail there.
Well, you remember that one. It's a famous photo. It was an AP photo. Now has a name. It's called Falling Man.
Falling Man, yes.
Yes, that ran one time the day after and then never again because it was deemed inappropriate, too emotional, would upset the families. And so that photograph, which it does, you cannot help but have an emotion as you observe this fellow American who had only one choice between death and death. And to see, you know, this stark human life just going to God is just one of those things that really, I think, that the media tried to stamp out. I think one of the reasons that our own motto, Never Forget, has been tainted is because the media has purposely not allowed the emotional photos, the emotional moments. And so, therefore, there's a lot of people like the young woman on your staff who really were too young to experience it and have never felt the emotion because it hasn't been conveyed by the media.
Right. And you know what? See, this
thank you for today.
Well, thank you. Look, I read some of the accounts, too. And we will take some more of your calls, by the way. 848-WABC is the number to call, 800-848-WABC. But look, I read the accounts. And when Diana, people say, okay, a plane crashed into the building. Well, wait a minute. What the hell does that mean? A plane crashed into the building, and the result was the ignition of the jet fuel, which then splattered across these entire floors and soaked people, created a 3,000-degree inferno inside those buildings. So those people who were lucky enough to burn up instantly in 3,000-degree heat didn't feel it. Those people who were on the outer edges of that 3,000-degree heat, who were feeling heat like none of us have ever experienced in our lives, had one choice. Either I jump the hell out of this window and I know I'm going to die, or I stay here and deal with this horrifically painful death that is going to drag on and on. That's not a choice that any human being should be asked to make. And let me go further. When you look at what ISIS did, and we forget about this, you look at the way that they gleefully engaged in murder and mayhem, locking people in cages and submerging them into hot oil, locking people in cages and submerging them to be eaten by other animals, creating assembly lines of beheading, where one after another beheaded and throwing people's heads into stacks and piles. You look at who these people are and what they did. And what has now happened in the United States, where we have just given Afghanistan over after so many lives so that it could all happen again, is incredibly ridiculous, which is why I don't care whether Joe Biden's down there on showbiz today commemorating 9/11. He and his administration are setting up the grounds for the next one.
You're absolutely right. And that event was such a wound for the rest of us who helplessly watched this happen on our TV screens or locally. And that the only response that we all had was to immediately put up an American flag, to hold an American flag, to have an American. That was wordless. And that was hated by the left. They were so angry and they tried to get it to stop. But they were overwhelmed. People didn't even pay a bit of attention to the criticism of the use of the flag.
Right.
And I have a sentence that I read, I just read again, that I wrote then. And this was of the time. Leftists everywhere are adrift. They are torn between what is to them two evils, America and the Taliban. They cannot side with one against the other because there are no moral absolutes. This was 20 years ago. They felt that America and the Taliban were morally equal. And look what happened 20 years later. Those same people who could not distinguish morally between America and the Taliban have now surrendered to the Taliban, because that is the philosophical underpinning of what we're seeing today. Is
right.
There is no difference. America is not exceptional. Why not let these guys be? And they are. They're treating them with utmost respect, more so than they're treating Americans who are unvaccinated.
They're treating them more respect than they treat American police officers, who they can't stand. American, as Joe Biden says, and I'm losing my patience with those of you who are unvaccinated, and therefore we're going to sick the government on you. I mean, this is just, yeah. Now, let me ask you quickly about Sean. You know, I read the BizPack Review story, and it said Sean Spicer goes off. Now, those words alone got me. I'm like, Sean Spicer went off on somebody? And Sean Spicer went off on Psaki, because Psaki, I mean, she and Biden, they're stripping these people that have served their country honorably from committees like West Point and some of the other committees. And I talked about how evil this was and unfair, and then you told me, well, I have a different view of it. And so what is your view of it?
Well, I am not defending it. I'm saying that Spicer is correct to be angry and hurt. He wrote a piece yesterday in Real Clear Politics, and he put his finger on it. He said the reason that the Biden administration is doing this, they removed 18 Trump appointees from the three basic academies. They want to inject far-left ideology such as critical race theory into the curriculum of the service academies without pushback. That is exactly right. He nailed the reason, and he nailed what we're seeing. And in my view, this is what's lost when the Republicans are in power. The left cleans house. You remember Clinton and his firing of the
92 U.S. attorneys day one, almost. It was day two or three, actually, but whatever. You're all fired.
Yes, and this is something that he paid no political price for, and the left does without apology when they are in power. They put their people in all – they use the levers of power that they have. And interestingly enough, and I hope you get a chance to read it, there is an article in The Federalist today, Why Democrats Are Always Winning Even When They Lose, which explains a lot of the reasons for this. Democrats are willing to lose bodies, and I mean that politically. They will fight for what they want. They will push and shove and implement it over everything. They will roll over everything. say, of Obamacare, and they then pay a political price. They don't care. It's worth it. Whereas Republicans, when they're in power, they push pause, and they don't tackle any difficult issues because they might lose bodies. They might lose people who are in office. And so they do a prevent defense the whole time. Remember, Nancy Pelosi lost her gavel over what? Obamacare. But Obamacare won, and she is back. So therefore, wow, they are way more willing to go to the battle, to fight the battle, which in my opinion is what you're seeing with Biden's patience wearing thin speech. His poll numbers were a problem. And so what do the Democrats feel most happy doing? What do they relish? Battle. And so he gave that speech, which was deliberately provocative. He is taking on the Republican governors on purpose. They had a guy who, Cedric Richmond, who was basically a spokesperson, saying these governors that stand in the way, the president will run over them.
That's exactly right.
They want this battle. They want this fight, and they are bringing it. And well, our side is shocked when we lose these little posts that are given up presidentially. We need to have that mindset of going to war.
Well, Diana Mee, once again, nails it. And so we will look forward to speaking with you during the week. There's another story or two that we have to discuss. I want to get back to 9/11. But thank you so much for joining us, especially on this day. Diana,
and we'll speak. You.
Thank you. Talk with you during the week. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley, we're headed back to the phones. Justin, where are we going?
Let's go to Dan in Bayside.
Dan, welcome, WABC.
Yes, good morning, James. You were talking about the haunting images of 9/11. I had a haunting image the Saturday before 9/11. At the time, I owned a small oil removal company. And I would only go into Manhattan on Saturdays because of the traffic. And I was going down there for at least 30 years. Never see a soul. So I'm driving down Broadway, and I'm looking. I see the National Guard. I see NYPD Highway Unit. I see Chase Manhattan, Department of Environmental Conservation. Every agency you can see, submachine guns. So at the time, I had to go to Number 1 Wall Street. So I called at Number 1 Wall Street at the loading dock, and I said, I'm here. So the engineer came out, and he said to me, okay, we're going to come get you. So he comes out with a man and a dog, and they pull me behind these gates, and they went around the truck, sniffed for bombs. And I said to the engineer, I said, what's this all about? He goes, well, you know, since the first World Trade Center, we have to be careful. I said, yeah, but I've been here 22 times since. What's up? And he wouldn't answer me. And I will never forget that. That
this was the weekend before 9/11, the Saturday before that Tuesday.
The Saturday before the Tuesday.
O-M-G.
Yeah. And I said to myself at the time, you know, this is weird. But then it went out of my head. And then when 9/11 happened, I said, holy cow, connect the dots.
Well, we just connected a few dots. Thank you. I appreciate your call so much. Thank you for sharing that with us. Justin, where are we moving to next?
Let's go to Edward in Queens.
Edward, welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77. What is your...
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Edward.
First of all, I'd like to say your voice is very soothing. I'm a New York City inspector, and I drive around Manhattan all day, and you help alleviate my stress. My
Thank
point
you.
That I would like to make today is that I've been driving around doing my inspections, and I've been on the east side, west side, from midtown to uptown, and I have not seen no reflection of American flag, no never forget signs, and it's very upsetting how this city has forgotten our fallen heroes. And that's the point that I would like to make, how we've been so desensitized to everything. But during June, we know what June month is. All the businesses represent, but for one day, you cannot see no more storefronts having their storefronts painted to honor the fallen and our heroes. And that's my point that I would like to make.
You made your point well. And we are remembering our fallen heroes today here on WABC. And we will continue to remember. As I said to you, you know, it makes me very proud every time I look at the WABC logo and I still see The Twin Towers were always part of that logo when we changed to a talk station. And I thought the very first time I saw that logo, I said, wow, that is really a beautiful logo. All these years later, those Twin Towers are still part of WABC's logo. We will never forget. We are not going to forget. Those people like you, those people like Lieutenant Torres, who called earlier, and all of you, the families that have been impacted by what happened on 9/11, we are not going to forget. And I beg those of you who are politically active not to forget that for the past year and two and three, we have seen a move to basically criminalize police officers. We have seen disrespect shown to first responders. That's what we have seen. Don't forget that either. Don't forget that while today downtown, our police officers are being loved today, don't forget what they've had to endure the past two or three years. Don't forget we still don't have real ID. Don't forget that many of the steps that could keep you safe from terrorism have not been implemented because of political obligations that a certain party has to its constituents and to promoting lawlessness, meaning illegal immigration. Don't forget these things. James, you're going politics. It's not enough. No, I'm being real. This is what we were supposed to get over as a nation on 9/11, after 9/11. And we, folks, we have to address these things if we are ever going to be a safe country. Now, we are coming up on the last moment of silence. And again, this is for the plane. Well, there's some drink, hello, but this is for the plane that struck the Pentagon. And one of my friends was on that plane. And, you can't imagine. But the heroes from Flight 93 we know about now. WABC, a moment of silence. Talk Radio 77, New York City. Love will find a way. There were some things that happened on or about September 11th that I want to just mention because I want to dispel this notion that I've heard all the, for the last 3 or 4 weeks that there was such unity and everyone was... No. There was some unity. Let us not forget this. Within hours of the picture being released of George W. Bush being told that the buildings were under attack, Democrat operatives started launching a narrative that Bush was stupid, too stupid to get up and stop doing, even though he purposely wanted to give the nation of calm, so he kept reading until he could find out more information. Then they quickly wrapped up. He was reading to a bunch of school kids, and then he left. So remember that, because that happened. Within hours, they started, oh, Bush is stupid. Now, also remember this. Remember Tom Brokaw, ABC News. Tom Brokaw, that very night, started trying to spin the narrative that George Bush was a coward, that he was fleeing from place to place on Air Force One and didn't want to stay in D.C., when all this was going on, like a true, you know, commander-in-chief should have. That was also being spun out there. So within hours of this attack, liberals, especially those in the media, were trying to create spin to denigrate the sitting Republican president. It was George Bush himself, Bush 43, that got ahead of the narrative when he visited the Trade Center with that famous bullhorn speech. I know what you... Yeah, that was it. That's what kind of set it straight. Now, let us remember something else that happened. Let us remember that pollsters... Mary Madeline is a dear friend. I love you, Mary. I love you, Mary. Your husband, James Carville, and pollster Stan Greenberg realized that President Bush's numbers were unstoppable after he took action. And in a very famous memo that was filtered through the Democrat parties, he said, they said pretty much, you have to make sure that George Bush gets casted as a liar and is dishonested and dishonest. If you're going to, you have to drag this man's name through the mud if we are going to have electoral success. And what happened? Well, all you have to do is look at the rest of the history of the Bush presidency from that moment. So for all this talk about unity, 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 let me just say this. And I say this and I mean it. Liberals never stop being liberals. Democrats never stop being Democrats. Even in moments of supposed unity, they are trying to politically slit the throats of their opponents. And I am sorry if that offends you on this day, but that is the truth of what happened. While the rest of the nation was grieving and shocked and worried, Brokaw was trying to make out that George W. Bush was a coward, not Brokaw, Peter, what's his name, on ABC, was trying to make out that George Bush was a coward. Within hours of the 9/11 attack, Democrat operatives were trying to peddle the notion that Bush was too stupid to leave that school when there was an emergency. Don't forget those things. They happen too. WABC Talk Radio 77, we are going to head for a break, and then we are coming back, and we will finish up today's program with you, your calls. Stay right here. WABC, Talk Radio 77. Justin, of course, has been working, and Pete on the phones today. But I just want to say a thank you to a few other people. Jan, of course, my producer. Jen. Jennifer. Jen Grodd has been wonderful with helping me throughout the week and putting this together. And also, of course, Dave Labrassi, who, without whom, you know, what can I tell you? This show just wouldn't be what it is. Chad Lopez. And, of course, John. You know, Kat is just one of the most remarkable human beings. He built an empire, and now he's rebuilding WABC into an empire. Of course, WABC is the crown jewel of American radio. And, John, you know, you have just, what you've done with this radio station and what you're doing today, my God, man, thank you. So we are going to wrap up today's program. We have another moment of silence coming up, but we have time for your calls. And we're going to do rapid phones. And, Justin, where are we going?
Let's go to Stu in Brooklyn.
Stu, please tell us what's on your mind, and thank you for calling.
Good morning, James. James, I was working downtown right after 9/11, and I have a souvenir in my right arm, a plate from my shoulder to the elbow where they took your cancer out. The point is, it's not just the immediate victims who suffered. You have 300,000 people worked downtown, thousands more that were victims of the diseases caused by the carcinogens that were in the air. My solution, wait till all the roaches together and then send them a message finally from all of us. They'll never forget. Kill every one of them when they gather at their loyal jirga.
Whoa. Yes, he's in Afghanistan. He's talking about let them get together and then let's finish the job. Thank you for the call, Stu. God bless you. Appreciate it. Where are we going next?
Let's go to Susan in Brooklyn.
Hello, Susan. Welcome. How are you today, Susan?
Oh, it's just great to hear your voice.
Thank you, Susan.
I can't think of anyone that could do a better job than what you've done. But you did mention Bill Clinton earlier, and I just wanted to remind, because we don't want to forget, right? Well, he had a chance to kill Osama bin Laden. He didn't do that. And he also set up the firewall between the CIA and the FBI.
Jamie Gorelick.
There were a number of tips that came in that could have been put together and made a very clear picture of what was going to happen. So Bill Clinton, he also did, he got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, which made the 2008 collapse of the economy. So, yes, it matters who we put in office, but George Bush had time. He could have reversed that. He had 9 months. And if it was Donald Trump in office, he would have done that in his first 24 hours. He would have got rid of that firewall between our intelligence.
If he knew about it. And that's where it is. And you are so right about Bill Clinton. After the USS Cole was attacked, he could have done something. He did nothing. He was offered bin Laden on a platter, and he was out golfing and refused to stop golfing to deal with it. Thank you for the call, Susan. Where are we going next?
Let's go to Tom in Bayside.
Tom, welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, James. And thank you for emphasizing the point about learning from the 9/11 experience. You know, the folks who suggest we ought to defund the police and replace them with psychologists and social workers, and the State Department trusting and negotiating with the Taliban and the debacle of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, it demonstrates a fallacy in asking evil to be reasonable. It's a form of naivete, but it's also a form of hubris, thinking that we can confront evil by talking to them. They're just misunderstood. Ultimately, we're going to have to learn somewhere along the line that evil must be confronted and defeated.
Thank you. Very, very well stated and very true. Justin, next up.
Let's go to Steve in Central Jersey.
Steve, right to your point, please, and thank you for calling.
Mr. Bo James, thanks for taking my call. George W. Bush, he did one good thing about this time 20 years ago. He got on publicly. He wasn't hiding. He told the American people, go to when people like me in Central Jersey were scared, not scared, but fearful. How pervasive would the attack be? He said, go to work. Don't let them win to stay home and hide. It means they won, we lost, they interfere with your liberty and freedom. Compare, contrast that, Mr. Bo James, with what the American people have allowed to happen in the last 18 months. And it ties in with your poll. Whatever the origins you think of the virus, at the admonition of one half of the government, the deep state and the media, people are hiding, still hiding in their homes. When we were really under attack 20 years, that's what a real attack looks like. What do you say, Mr. Bo James?
I say you made, as usual, an amazingly excellent point, and I thank you. We have time for one more caller. Where are we headed?
Let's head to Gary in Staten Island.
Gary, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77.
Thank you. Bo, you mentioned during your weekday show that every Monday, people in the No Force Vaccination Movement, every Monday at City Hall at noon, at 12 o'clock, that's every Monday. And then September 18th, people down in D.C. will be gathering.
Tell you what, I am on Monday. Call us Monday and let us talk about that. We have to grab one more related to 9/11 before we leave. David.
Yes, hi, Bo. Bo, great to talk to you. I want to remember people like my sister-in-law, Elaine Duke, who was on the 88th floor of Tower 1 when the elevator door opened up and she was engulfed in jet fuel fire. She survived and walked down 88 floors with burns over 80% of her body. She still lives today, but living with the mental and physical of having survived that event. And her story has been told in places such as the book Fall and Rise, but she's a very quiet person, doesn't like a lot of publicity.
I am glad, David, that you called and that we get a chance to end the show with your call, with the tale of survival through the most horrific day that New York has ever experienced. Thank all of you. Thank all of you who participated, those of you at home who are quietly remembering. It has been an honor to be here with you on this day, 20 years later, from 9/11. We are coming up on our next moment of silence here, WABC, in the greatest city in the world, the greatest nation humanity has ever witnessed. James Golden, God bless and protect you.